flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
He just continues to churn out positive yards against defenses. And while you're not maybe getting the huge chunks, this is the most efficient ball control 10-plus play drive offense in the league. So, you know, getting him to not make a 2-yard run into a 4-yard run, I think is just as big as minimizing some of the explosives.
There's Dan Orlovsky from ESPN earlier with One Bills Live talking about Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco. We'll dig into that matchup between the Bills and the Chiefs. Coming up Sunday evening from Kansas City, Matt Perino covering the team for the Syracuse Post-Standard, joining us now as he does every Tuesday at this time. Buddy, man, this has been a fun, wild ride. I'd love for it to continue for another few weeks. And we look back at what happened Sunday night. I find it really fascinating as we learn a little bit more about what led to the Bills getting that win, that it was actually the Bills' defensive game plan to keep the ball in the hands of the presumptive MVP.
Well, first off, let me say I'm going to tread lightly today. I don't want to be getting banned from any shows in Rochester. You know, it's tough. It's tough sledding out there for anybody that is on the other side of the line I'm hearing. So I'm just going to be careful today. I don't want to make anybody upset.
All you have to worry about is not coming in here and saying that Joe Brady, you can't wait for Joe Brady to no longer be a part of the organization. I mean, like, I'm not wrong here, Matt. Don't make me feel guilty for banning Luke from Rochester.
No, I just know that you run a tight ship, and I like to keep sailing along with both of you.
Yeah, expectations are high.
I like that. When it comes to the game plan this past week, yeah, it makes sense to, you know, the way that game played out the first time around in week four, to be eliminated in that way to, like, you know, what's the definition of stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So I think the fact that they wanted to try to limit Derrick Henry, like, so much was being made about that performance, and it was a great performance. I know they were down a couple of key pieces. Henry had played two games in Orchard Park before that, both in Tennessee, and he was averaging somewhere around 3.2 yards a carry in those games. So he had never really come into Buffalo and had this explosive game, and he still averaged double that, 5.5 per carry. But it was more so than the game plan and the way that it played out. Some of the decision making by Todd Monken in that game, I've been very critical on. I posted a clip. Their second down play after Henry gets stopped. So to your point, stopping Henry on first down changed the math in Monken's head for how to approach the next couple downs. Conventional wisdom would say, go run it again 3 more times. You're inside the 5-yard line. But he sends Lamar Jackson back to pass. Ronnie Staley, their All-Pro left tackle, is report is eligible, and he's running a pattern on the play. And Lamar Jackson gets sacked, and then the next play is an incompletion, and they have to settle for a field goal. It's like those little moments in the game. Also, Matt Milano, it's funny because fantastic. I think a lot of Ravens fans were poking fun at the Bills for advocating for the fact that Milano was going to be a difference maker. And that's exactly what he was in so many different little ways. If he doesn't tip that pass on the 2-point conversion attempt and they score that there, they're kicking an extra point on that final touchdown drive to win the game. And so, or at least put themselves in a lead late in the game. And then Allen obviously gets it back. But so many little moments, the Bills made plays not to lose the game, and sometimes you have to do that. Whereas I think that the Ravens, conversely, made so many losing plays in that game.
Matt, I might get in trouble for saying this, but I took note that when the locker room kind of opened on Sunday night, like a lot of the guys that you would go to had already gone out. It's almost like, hey, this is nice, but not hearing from Dawkins or Oliver or Rousseau or a lot of these players, Matt, that normally you would go to for a postgame, just kind of told me one thing. Hey, this is nice, but we're already moving on to Kansas City here.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part about that game and the way that it was billed, rightfully so, was this game of the year, and it felt so, I don't know, disappointing that we were getting that in the divisional round, but the way that is because Kansas City is still the team that you have to beat, and you have to go on the road to do it. So I don't think, it's funny, like the celebration for a win like that, you should have felt more, right, in the room. Yeah. And there was some, you know, some chest puffed out a little bit when we talked to Ed Oliver. They had heard the noise during the week, and you know, it was actually my question to McDermott that kind of raised some eyebrows late in the week about, I was just kind of relaying the message. You know, everything that I read and heard on the national scene throughout the week was about the fact that the Ravens run out 7-plus 300-pounders in a lot of their packages. And one of the criticisms of the Bills and the way that they're made, their roster, are they big enough to not get bullied by that Ravens team that bullied the Steelers the week before? And that's the Steelers. I mean, they have Cam Hayward in the middle of their defense, one of the biggest defensive tackles, one of the most athletic defensive tackles. So I thought it was a fair question. And the way McDermott answered it and the way that they kind of responded after the game tells you that they've heard all the noise. And they say two things. They say, one, we don't listen to the outside noise. But then they also say, we heard the messages. And that's a big thing. That's part of what makes sports so great, is like the questions and then whether or not you're able to answer those questions. And the Bills answered it in a huge way. And I think Lamar, more than anything, lived up to the narrative, fair or not, that he makes mistakes in big games. He made multiple mistakes, including that play I referenced earlier, which was a sack on second down. You cannot take a sack in the red zone in that spot.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And to your point about them kind of having their satellite up, their antenna up, and they're listening to what's being said while they're saying that they're not listening to what's being said. Hey, everybody knows they're going to go into this game as an underdog. The line is moving more in favor of Kansas City here as the week goes on. That's exactly, I think, where we want to be, is it not?
Oh, without a doubt. And I think if you ask Sean McDermott off the record, he'd tell you the same exact thing. He would never actually answer that question. But if he were, I think he would tell you that. And, you know, this is a team that it operates best when people doubt it. And, you know, I think for as much as people are doubting it right now, there's also this sentiment that this feels like the best chance for the Bills to finally dethrone the Chiefs. And it's kind of crazy to say that in the year where they beat them already. And you know the Chiefs are probably have that stuck in the back of their head. But it's a team that has gone through all of these different versions of losing and all of this disappointment over the last couple of years. And they're built in a way that I think no matter how this game goes on Sunday, they're built to play from ahead, to have to come from behind. They've done that before against the Chiefs, and most of it's been in the regular season. But those are key things. And, you know, I think this was maybe a little bit of a wake-up call for Joe Brady. I was a little bit critical of how conservative it felt in the third quarter, only because I don't think you want to get in the habit of having Lamar Jackson on the field twice as much as Josh Allen in a quarter. Like, that didn't feel like a good, but to Gene's point, I was listening to the clip yesterday, Dalton Kincaid's got to make that catch. I was very critical of that. And this, to me, is a bigger question about Dalton Kincaid in year two. I mean, we're sitting here, there's only been one game where he's had 10 or more targets. Most of the games, 7 and less. He's had probably half or more with 5 or less targets. It's just, he hasn't been the instrument in this offense that I think people expected going into the season. And listen, there's no greater time than the present to maybe change the math on that. I'll be interested to see how the Bills deploy their offense against Kansas City, who knows it so well. They ran it pretty well earlier in the season. I think they're still going to be able to run the ball. But can Josh Allen affect the game in the passing game more? Do they feel like on the road they have to be a little bit more aggressive with the play calling? Or is this just going to be a mistake off where you are Sean McDermott, you're Andy Reid, and you're looking, you're playing chicken. Who's going to make the mistake first? It's going to be a fun game to watch.
We know how much those mistakes are magnified in a game like what we're going to see on Sunday, like they were on last Sunday. And not a lot of people, it's not sexy to talk about something other than the two, you know, quarterbacks or the playmakers. But, man, I love the trenches. I love looking at the matchup between offensive line and defensive line. And it was fun to do last week. I think it's going to be fun to do with this matchup as well. And I feel as if the Bills' defensive line might have a slight edge over Kansas City's offensive line going into this game, just knowing that there's been a little lack of continuity there throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, the move of Joe Tooney out to left tackle when it first happened raised my eyebrows a bit, because he's an elite-level guard, and at tackle, at 32 years old, I just don't know if he has the kind of quickness and speed to deal with, you know, what you're going to deal with in this Bills defensive line. I mean, Von Miller's playing the best football he's played since 2022. Greg Rousseau has been a menace, especially in the run game. And, Isaiah Pacheco has not been nearly as good since he's come back as he was earlier in the season, or the player that they saw last year. Kareem Hunt's a problem at times, but I do think the Bills had some success against him. But to me, that's the matchups to watch. I mean, Juwan Taylor, he's a guy that, like, notorious for that getting off early. Yep. And potentially being a penalty threat for them at home. I really like the Bills matchup on the outside. And I think you have Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones, who have put together two pretty good playoff games. It hasn't been the one where I think Bills fans have been waiting for, but again, no better time than the present to finally affect a game against the Chiefs. And I had Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated on my podcast today, and he brought up the fact that the last three playoff games for the Bills against the Chiefs, total sacks for the Bills against the Chiefs, 3. They're averaging 1 a game. That's not enough. That's not enough. You have to affect Patrick Mahomes more. We saw last week, if Nick Caserio had built that offensive line the way that he should have, or at least paid a little bit more mind to it, I think Houston wins that game last week, because they just could not protect C.J. Stroud. And a couple of those sacks were on him, but it was just the floodgates were open. I mean, that drive in the red zone when he got sacked on second and third down, it's just like, what else do you want them to do? And then on the other side of the ball, I thought Will Anderson was destructive. Danielle Hunter had a good game. Tim Settle looked pretty good. You know, the Bills' defensive line should be able to affect Mahomes, and I'm interested to see, of all the teams left, and that includes the Eagles and the Commanders, I really think the Bills are the only team that can beat the Chiefs any given Sunday. I get that. But I picked it last week. I said whoever wins the game between the Bills and the Ravens was going to be my Super Bowl pick, and I'm sticking with it.
Matt Perino, Shout Podcast, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Matt, I thought DeMar Hamlin had a really nice game. They used him some different ways. He helped force that turnover that Von Miller returned. But my question is, okay, there are a couple other concerns in the secondary. How do we feel about Cole Bishop if Taylor Rapp isn't ready to go? And, gosh, that was a little bit of a surprise yesterday to hear Christian Benford, concussion protocol, missed that. Maybe that was on the onside kick. So, I mean, we're not going to know anything about Benford maybe up until game time. Who knows on that? But your thoughts on Patrick Mahomes perhaps seeing a depleted secondary here?
Yeah, the Benford news is concerning, without a doubt. I mean, if he's not available, now you harken back to last season when I think a lot of Bills fans would tell you if Benford was available, Bernard was available, the Bills maybe win that game at home against the Chiefs. So the more starters you're down, the more concerned you get. And listen, I think Taylor Rapp has been important for what they do. I think he's had a good season. But I've liked a lot of what I've seen from Cole Bishop over the last month and a half. And I think getting those reps down the stretch was critical for him. And if Rapp can't go and he's day to day right now, I think it's going to be Bishop, who gets the first team reps all week just in case he can't. And that's huge. Like, in the game planning meetings, and I know these guys all tell you that they approach every game like they are the starter, and that's a smart mindset to have. But it's one thing to say that and go through that practice, and there's a whole other thing to actually get those reps in practice. And, you know, Micah Hyde being there is huge. I know Sean said he won't play, but even Hamlin said after the game, like, the impact Hyde has had on Bishop since he's been back, like that player coach extra voice in a room, it's huge. Like, just being able to go out there and play freely, knowing that you've done all the mental work beforehand, and then by the way you have a guy like Micah Hyde on over your shoulder, that's really huge.
Do you think defensively they employ a similar strategy in dealing with Mahomes as they did with Jackson, in terms of having Milano just kind of play center field or play the spy there to make sure that they can keep Mahomes contained? Or is it just too, he's too valuable in pass coverage to make sure that Travis Kelce doesn't do what he inevitably does and feels like in every playoff game he's in, which is find that soft spot and always find himself open?
I think it's so fitting that if Bishop has to play, because I remember when they drafted him, Kincaid saying that in college he just locked him up over and over again. Could that be just this unbelievable story in the championship game if Bishop finds a way to make some big plays against Travis Kelce? But I don't know if you're going into it expecting that. The thing with Milano is I do think that you want to spy Mahomes with him at times, but I'd also say I don't think they're going to be as blitz happy against Kansas City as they were against Lamar. And there's this other piece too. Josh Reed tweeted this, I think earlier today. Bill Belichick was on the Inside the NFL show in October, and he said nobody spins the dial like Sean McDermott in the NFL in terms of how many different looks and defenses he tries to throw at a team. And that's, I think, what he's going to continue to do. I think you want to be very mobile with how you are sending different packages out there and what you're doing. I don't think you want Patrick Mahomes to settle into any kind of consistent attack, whether it be a spy, no spy, or manner zone.
We really didn't see much of the Bills' passing game against the Ravens, which is fine. That was the game plan. It worked out in the end. But Matt, and the temperatures this game, it looks like it's not going to be brutal in Kansas City. We'll put it that way. Just your thoughts here, because it seems like we haven't seen much of Amari Cooper, and you mentioned Dalton Kincaid. I mean, just some of these guys. Could we expect a different approach on offense this week?
You wonder if they haven't been setting this up a little bit, and it coincides with the matchups that you mentioned. Like, they were never going to be super pass heavy against that Ravens team. It was ball control was at a premium in that game, so I get it. But we've seen the highlight moments of Amari Cooper in this offense. It's in there somewhere. And I also think at 30 years old, like, you know, you may only have a couple of really high volume games in a season for Cooper. I mean, he's not super young. So that's a piece of it. I also think that Keon Coleman, there's that other storyline of Coleman versus Worthy in that game. And, you know, Worthy had the stats, I believe, in the regular season matchup, and we'll see if the Bills look to involve Coleman a little bit more. But even when they go jumbo, there's opportunities in the passing game for the tight ends, for the boundary guys. I think Khalil Shakir versus Trent McDuffie, if that ends up being the primary defender against Shakir in this game, has the chance to be a really fun matchup to watch. And, listen, Vernon Ram said this today too. Like, these teams don't know how to play games in the playoffs that aren't close since the AFC title game a couple years ago. And so I think it's going to be who executes and converts the best late in the fourth quarter. I think they'll probably play a close game. I think it's going to end up being maybe another classic.
And to bring it around kind of full circle, we started by talking about the ridiculous notion that I can't wait for Joe Brady to not be with the Bills anymore. I mean, talk a little bit about what you're watching when you see this Bills offense operating under Joe Brady, because to my eyes, as you watch, there's always somebody open. There's always separation and a target for Allen to hit, even if it's the underneath stuff. And it's not always downfield. There's always an open guy.
Yeah, and I think like what he does really well is that he will diagnose in game what when a play works. So for instance, this last game, an example of that is that pitch play. I think the first time he ran it, I can't remember if it was Ty Johnson or James Cook, but it worked, and then he kind of spams that play. And in this game, I don't know if that approach necessarily worked. A lot of those pitches in the second half didn't go for many yards, but they ran different looks out of it multiple times to try to see if they could continue to gain an advantage in that play. You know what was the coolest play that I saw in that game against the Ravens that I think that they can really lean into is getting Reggie Gilliam in the game with Cook and then passing out of it. And what ended up happening was it was kind of like a wheel route, but kind of like a screen pass, and Gilliam got out in front and blocked the one corner, and Cook ended up running for 10 yards. Like, you can get really creative with what you can do in the passing game with your backs, because all three of your backs can catch it out of the backfield. And really, if you want to get super crazy, you could throw it to Gilliam. He's done that before too. He's got a little tight end in him. So I think he's been super creative. I think Aaron Cromer's implementation or integration into the run game and how much he has say in this offense really just helps them in the run game, but also in the short passing game.
Matt, last one for me. And we had Mike Catalan of 13 Wham on with us yesterday, and he said he had been to Kansas City so many times, he's barbecued out. Have you reached that point now?
Same. We're still going to go to Joe's, the gas station there. It's delicious, so I'm still going to go. But I am barbecued out. And honestly, I did the math. This is my sixth time to Kansas City since being on the beat. And, you know, it's fine. But, like, it's just one of those cities that – and I'm sure that they probably think this way about Buffalo. Like, for us, it's the barbecue. We've had it so many times. They probably have wings so many times. They've probably gone to all the big places. So they're just like, I don't know. But here's the bottom line. No matter what you think about going to the city or the cuisine or anything like that, I'll go to Kansas City every single time because, man, these two teams do not know how to play a game that isn't just electric. And with everything on the line and the chance for the Bills to go to the Super Bowl, I mean, listen, you put aside most of, if not all of the fan part of it when you start covering the team. I just think you have to. I think it happens organically. I've talked about this on my podcast and the show. But listen, for the city and what it means for the town and the people, I mean, my entire family are Bills fans. It would be really, really cool to cover a Super Bowl and to see this group go. I think that they've been through just crazy adversity over the last 5 years in so many different ways. You mentioned Hamlin a minute ago. And to see him have the game that he had against the Ravens, knowing everything that he's gone through, yeah. There's so many cool stories on this team to be able to finally break through when everybody nationally was writing them off before the season. It's a story that I wouldn't mind writing here come 5 days from now.
Yeah, it feels different, doesn't it? What do you got going on this week here at Syracuse.com that we could check out? Shout podcast. You busy this week, Matt? You got anything happening?
Nothing. I'm taking the week off. Just kidding. Every single day we'll have you covered with a podcast. We'll be out at One Bills Drive tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. Have you covered there. We'll have some stories up at the website. It's gonna be a fun week to get ready for another heavyweight fight.
Cannot wait for Sunday. Always appreciate your time, Matt. Great stuff as always.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Matt. There's Matt Perino covering the Buffalo Bills, Syracuse.com, the Syracuse Post-Standard, and, of course, the Shout podcast where you can download wherever you get your pods.
The Benford storyline is going to be one world. And just like Ray Davis, Sean McDermott's going to put you on a need-to-know basis. And right now, you don't need to know.
Yeah, I mean, based on how the Davis protocol went last week, I'm really not that concerned. Like, I have a feeling that Christian Benford... I know it's not up to him. I know it's not up to him, but these guys want to be out there. They're not going to miss time if they can avoid it.
And well, it's will we get Dr. Nick on that?
Where is Dr. Nick?
Dr. Nick. Can Christian Benford play?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
I think you said yes.
By the way, yes. I didn't get to watch, the Eagles-Rams game because I was at the game, but I did look up the monitor. I'm like, Jalen Hurts, for whatever reason, I don't know why, at the time he was going into the tent. outside the tent was Big Dom.
Yeah.
Like, Big Dom is managing the tent?
That's right. Hey, He's the bouncer.
Big Dom says Jalen can go back.
Yeah. Hey, you want to get in the tent? Keep walking, pal. Your name's not on the list.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Amherst head coach Mike Leone stepping by the sports bar next hour. We'll also talk more Bills with Michael F. Florio from NFL Network. The one element of the game on Sunday that we didn't talk about with Parrino, and honestly, I don't want to talk about it, but we know who is going to be officiating this game on Sunday. And the moment that the Chiefs advanced to the AFC Championship, we all started to hear the chatter. In my opinion, the nauseating chatter of the refs being in bed with Kansas City. I have some thoughts.
Okay, so there is one kind of aspect to the game. Are we allowed to feel bad for Mark Andrews? We'll give you the latest here, what's happened since the game with Mark Andrews. And if I may, Danger, if you'll allow it, a non-sports take to just kind of lighten the mood here.
Of course, a little non-sports take on the way. We'll get to Mike Leone and we'll get to Michael F. Florio all coming up before 5 o'clock here in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan Rochester.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.